And now, an interview with the author.
Hi, this is Avi Roque, the narrator of Cemetery Boys, and I'm speaking with Aiden Thomas, the author of this amazing book, who also has excellent hair. It is so good to finally connect and get to chat with you. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. I'm so excited to be able to finally talk to you, and especially in the context of the book. This is really exciting.
It is. It is very exciting. And I feel like we should just dive in. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
I do have a question. I am curious about what is your inspiration for this book, or what was it?
When I first came up with this idea, it was actually a writing prompt that I saw on Tumblr. I follow a lot of writing guides. And there was just this one sentence prompt, and it said, what would happen if you summoned the ghost and you couldn't get rid of it? And I was like, yeah, what would happen if that happened to me? And that's where it really all started with. And my main character, Yadriel's the one who came to life first. He's transgender, he's Cuban and Mexican, and he's also gay. I really wanted to explore and kind of showcase how vibrant Latinx culture is and the love and the magic that's really involved with Dia de Muertos. It isn't celebrated the same way in every country, but it has like a recognizable core. There's characters from Mexico, Cuba, Haiti, Colombia, and they all bring parts of their respective cultures to the Dia de Muertos celebrations. And having a story about a Latinx boy who can see ghosts aligned perfectly with Dia de Muertos, and the plot just kind of grew and exploded from there.
That's fantastic. And you did such a stellar job. Like, it does make me feel pretty emotional, even because me being Latinx, being trans, representation is so important. And I never had a book like this growing up. So it just really, it's a surreal moment to get to experience and obviously be able to even lend my voice to your words and to this story. So it's really awesome. And like, I'm getting emotional right now. Speaking to that, when you do sit down and write and you're about to do this, is there any kind of like writing ritual that you do or like set up to get in the space or the zone when you are like, okay, here we go, I'm going to sit down and write?
Yeah, there's a lot of rituals that I have to go through because I love to procrastinate, right?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite hobbies. and I'm huge on music. So in order to get into like a writing space, I usually have to get some sort of playlist going. And for Cemetery Boys, I have a playlist for the entire book itself, and then I also have playlists for both Yadriel and Julian. So depending on like what the scene is, I have to put on that music and trying to really get myself in the mood of it. Mm-hmm. And it's all, I have really terrible taste in music because I'm really into like reggaeton, but like bad reggaeton. Like I love Daddy Yankee and stuff like that. Most of the playlist for this book is like that kind of music. And I just put on my headphones and I blare it. And then that's usually what can actually like kickstart the actual writing process.
That's great. And there is nothing wrong with some Daddy Yankee. That is, I really love that music. Music speaks to you and is kind of what fuels you and motivates you and gets you in that headspace. And I feel like that's something I can relate to as well as an actor. So that's so cool. I love that. I guess piggybacking off of when I mentioned, you know, lending my voice and being the narrator of this book, how does it feel to hear someone else read your book and bring your characters to life in this way?
It's totally wild and incredible. I was so thrilled to begin with to just find out that Cemetery Boys would be getting an audiobook. Yeah. And I was hoping against hope that I would get a Latinx narrator. Then when they sent me an email with a clip of you reading, I was absolutely floored that they went out and actually found someone who was Latinx and trans. I was out of my mind excited. Macmillan has been like really wonderful when it comes to supporting Cemetery Boys and the community that I wrote it for. Like even when it came to finding a cover artist for the book, Macmillan sent me a list of artists and all of them were a person of color, trans, or both. And so that real commitment to the community has been so, so wonderful. I feel so lucky, and this has been such a great journey so far already.
Yeah, that's like, well, first I want to shout out, yes, to Macmillan and to Maddie, the producer. We have to like, you know, yes, give some love to the people that are committed to doing the work. And it's so crucial and necessary. And I'm so happy that that kind of change or this way of going about things, it is happening. And, you know, because for a minute I was like, wow, this progress feels super slow. Or like, am I ever going to see the changes that I wish to see in my lifetime? And like, here we are. So kudos to, and many thanks to those people that are doing the work. So
yeah, it's incredible. I'm so thankful and honestly just so thrilled.
Yay. Let's see. Yeah, you mentioned Dia de Muertos. Is that anything that you celebrate or you have celebrated?
Yes, so I do celebrate Dia de Muertos. It's probably my favorite holiday, I would say. I am, and it definitely doesn't hurt that it's pretty close to Halloween. So yeah. I love both of those holidays. And there's so much about Dia de Muertos that I love, and I really wanted to tie into the story. So especially like the food, right? During Dia de Muertos, especially like the pan dulce and pan de muerto specifically. When I was writing this story, it's funny because so much of Dia de Muertos is already really steeped in magic. So it was kind of bringing all of our spiritual ideals and really upping the fantasy bit and like leaning into what's already there, right? So like the pan de muerto can be eaten by the ghosts. So that's something that happens in the book. And marigolds are probably my favorite aspect of the entire holiday. They're so beautiful and they smell incredible, like really sweet apples. And one of my favorite things about celebrating Dia de Muertos is seeing the different ways that people use them to decorate graves and ofrendas. So I really, that was when I was writing Cemetery Boys, I really wanted to pull all of those ways that Dia de Muertos is celebrated in like our real world, but give them like fantastical powers.
Yes. The magic is present and real in this book, and that's so incredible. And so would you say there's a lot of you in this book?
I would say that there is, yeah. I mean, Yadriel, my main character, he is trans Latinx and he is gay, and I am trans Latinx and I am queer.
Yes.
So people automatically are like, oh, so you're Yadriel. I think Yads is actually way smarter than me, and he makes a lot better logical decisions than I am. I think personality wise, I probably lean a bit towards Julian and kind of his wild hyperactivity and inability to kind of focus on one thing at a time. So there's like bits and aspects of me, I think, in kind of everybody in the book. Which is fun. And I grew up in Oakland, California, and this takes place in East Los Angeles, California, which is very different, but there's still a lot of similarities, especially when it comes to like a coming together of Latinx cultures in one city.
That's awesome. We're Bay Area twins. I grew up in San Francisco area. So
Incredible. Yeah, right across the bay from each other.
Mm-hmm. So look at that. The universe, the universe knew and brought us together.
So, I love it.
Let's see. This is a cute hashtag. Hashtag Yadrian. Is this something that you see growing? Is there potential for this story to continue?
I definitely think it's safe to say that Yadriel and Julian's adventures aren't over yet. I have a ton of ideas bouncing around inside my head. And this is such a world that could be really expanded, whether it's, you know, from my two boys again, or if it's from another character. I would personally be really interested in writing a sequel from Julian's perspective. Mm. I think that would be a lot of fun. So we'll see what the future has in store, but I definitely don't think that their story ends here.
Amazing. That's awesome. I even was thinking, like, wow, is it even of, like, potential to even make it, like, transition it into, like, TV or film or, like, something like that. But I don't know. It was a thought that I had.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, just say, Avi, stop talking. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm ready.
So what I am really interested in knowing is, was the audiobook recording process, like, what you expected? Have you done audio recording before? And, like, how is that different from acting?
This was my very first audiobook, and I guess my idea was like, okay, I'm just gonna sit down and I'm gonna read the book out loud, which weird. When I read in general, I kind of read out loud, like, under my breath. It's very interesting. Like, I like doing voices for characters and things like that. So something about this was very, I think I felt very enticed by this idea of, like, being able to do something like this. And I suppose, if anything, though, because it's not something that I'm doing regularly, like, maybe just, like a muscle that's not fully developed, I noticed when we were recording, like, it takes a lot of stamina and endurance. And you do hit your moments where you're like, whoa, the words are looking blurry, or like, wow, I'm feeling really fatigued and tired. But again, Maddie, our producer, was, like, so awesome and gave me some tips. And, like, especially when I started getting, like, mush mouth or, like, jumbling my words, she was like, you probably just need water. And I was like, okay, great. And it's true, like, getting some liquid in, and then it kind of gives you this little charge to keep going. But taking breaks was really great too. So if anything, it was just kind of like, wow, this is, it's work, you know? But I really enjoyed it. But in terms of, like, acting, yeah, I guess there is this thing of, like, who are these people? And I think, like, for me, which I was surprised by, was that each character does need to have, like, a distinct voice, and, like, some different affectation or some different, like rhythm or tonally, which was, like, I guess I wasn't entirely prepared for, as I kept reading and being like, oh yeah, there's, like, many people in here that need to sound differently. But I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, it is, like, character voice acting. And that was really fun. But yeah, I guess it is just, it's different in terms of, you know, I'm not moving around. I have to be careful with my movements because I don't want to, like, hit the mic. But so it's less animated, a little more obviously rooted and grounded. But yeah, but it's still telling a story. And so as an actor, I'm still telling a story. It's just the different elements and ways of doing it.
So that is so impressive to me, because for being, you know, an author, a lot of folks are like, hey, can you do this event and, like, or a panel or whatever, and can you read from your book? And I'm always like, oh gosh, like, this is going to be so hard. I stumble over myself constantly. And just like you were saying, the, like, different affects and stuff that you need for different characters can be so difficult. So I've only ever read the same, like, 10 minutes of my book over and over again, and every time it is such a struggle. I am so impressed that you can even begin to, like, I can't even fathom, like, reading an entire book. It's so cool, and it's incredible. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute because it's like, at least I am, it is kind of an, that's the other thing. It is kind of an isolated experience. Like, I'm in a tiny room, you know, not much light, which probably, you know, but it's, at least there's not. So for anyone whose art or work is so internal, I feel like it is, it could be difficult to translate to have to all of a sudden be like, okay, now I am speaking in front of all these people, you know, and that comes with its own like fears. But like, don't get me wrong, I still get nervous. Like, I was nervous on the first day being here and being like, having no idea what to expect. But, you know, knowing that I belonged there and that this, I was so excited for the work and I felt very taken care of. And so, yeah, it was a great first, like, audiobook process. And I feel super grateful for that.
Good, because I will just keep stealing you for all of my audiobooks. How does that sound?
I love it. I'm here for it. Yes, please.
Great, done.
This has been the cutest chat and so much fun. Thank you, Aiden, for taking the time to speak with me and speak with us and share and give us insight into this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful novel that you birthed.
Thank you so much for having me. I had such a wonderful time talking to you. And thank you for being my narrator for this book. I cannot wait for listeners to get a hold of this audiobook and enjoy your narration. It's going to be fantastic.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.